that we've been able to do it. People can move up. Obviously, a lot of the people who were here earlier are no longer here, so I know people are kind of glued to their chairs at this point. But if anyone wants to move up, there clearly is space. Thank you to those who are watching online as well. One announcement for those who were not here earlier and may have missed the announcement, the booklets that we have with the source sheets in them do contain the name of Hashem. So they can sit on your bookshelf just fine, like any Sefer. However, in the event that you're going to want to discard it, if you want to leave it here, we could put it in Geniza. We can put it into storage ourselves. Okay. Tishrei in a Day is dedicated by Michael and Marsha Lacks in memory of Michael's parents, Ben and Leah Lacks, Dov ben Mordechai, Zichrona Levracha, Leah bat Tovia, Zichrona Levracha. And this class is dedicated by Irv and Rena Gottesman in honor of their grandchildren, the future builders, Ezra, Ariella, Jackson, Tyler, and Dylan. Okay, Shmini Atzeres, a holiday about nothing, question mark. So first of all, to make sure we're all on the same page, Shmini Atzeres is the eighth day of Sukkot. Outside of Israel, it's observed on the eighth and ninth, separate days, Shmini Atzeres Simchas Torah, but you have to be in Israel to do it all at once. That's the only way to really do it. It is the 22nd day of the month of Tishrei. Here is an interesting problem. Take a look at source number one on your sheet. That is a list of the places in the Chumash which go through the Shalosh Regalim, which list the three festivals. I already made it easy for you. I didn't bring you verses and make you read it and all of that. The first time the list appears, Parshas Mishpatim, shortly after the Torah records the giving of the Torah at Sinai, Shmini Atzeres is not on the list. It tells us about a seven-day holiday called Sukkot, and that's it. Pesach, Shavuos, 7 days for Sukkot. The second time the list shows up, Parshas Kisisa, after the golden calf, Shmini Atzeres is not on the list. First time it shows up is in Parshas Emor, section of Shor Chesev. We read it in the Torah on the beginning of Sukkot, at the beginning of Pesach as well. There it makes it. It's also there. Oh, you know what? There's a mistake on the sheet. That's funny. It also makes it into Parshas Pinchas. It is. Why I wrote omitted? That should say listed. It is in Pinchas. And it's not in Re'eh. It's omitted once again in Re'eh. So in other words, the third and fourth times that the Torah lists these festivals, Shmini Atzeres is there, the eighth day of Sukkot. However, the first and second time, and the last time, we read it in Shul just a couple of weeks ago. I don't know if anybody noticed, Shmini Atzeres wasn't there. I noticed, because I was thinking about giving the shir, and then I said, hey, wait a minute, where did Shmini Atzeres go? I've been laying that, I don't know how many times I've laid that. And it had not occurred to me. If we had a lot of time, I would ask you to explain why in the world the Torah seems to forget about Shmini Atzeres for some of the lists, but it remembers for other lists. But I'm gonna make it easy, because the answer actually is relatively straightforward. The first two lists are about the mitzvah of Aliyah LaRegel, going to Yerushalayim, or as it's known in the Chumash, Hamakom Asher Yivchar, the place that Hashem will choose for the celebrations. That's the theme in the first two lists. The third list is about the mitzvot of the holidays, which are performed b'chol moshvotechem, wherever you live. The fourth list is the karbanot, the sacrifices that are brought on each of them. And then the last one is, again, about aliyah l'regel, about going to the place Hashem will choose. So in other words, the lists that omit Shmini Atzeres are the ones that emphasize going to Yerushalayim for the holiday. And since Shmini Atzeres is already piggybacking on a seven-day holiday before that, everybody went for Sukkot, there's no reason for the Torah to include Shmini Atzeres. You're already there. Whereas the list that's in Parshas Emor is about the mitzvos that you perform on each day. And therefore it mentions that you have an eighth day of this holiday. And again, the one with the karbanos, there are sacrifices to bring. So that's why it's omitted from some of the lists and makes it onto some of the lists. That's a curiosity. It would be good for, I don't know, another edition of Torah IQ, perhaps. He's already writing it down. But here's a question. What is the common denominator between the various regalim, these festivals that we have? Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot. What unites all of them? Common theme for all three. A mitzvah of joy, but within the story of the holiday itself. What's the common theme? Yeah. Going to Jerusalem is how we celebrate it. No, within the story of the holiday. Yetzias Mitzrayim, getting out of Egypt. Pesach celebrates the fact that we got out of Egypt, right? That's basic. Shavuos, we link to the giving of the Torah because we know it occurs around then. I'm going to come back to that. And then Sukkot is how Hashem protected us in the wilderness. Where is the relevance for Shmini Atzeres? Shmini Atzeres has nothing to do with any of those things. We're not even sitting in the Sukkah. We may sit in the Sukkah outside of Israel. We're going to talk about that for a minute. But the basic element of it, Shmini Atzeres, is not about the departure from Egypt the way that Pesach clearly is with it. Sukkah clearly is. And Shavuos, the way we celebrate it, is also about that initial departure from Egypt, getting the Torah at Sinai. The other connection between these three holidays is the harvest, right? Each of them celebrates an aspect of the harvest. Pesach is in the beginning of the harvest, and we bring the Karban Omer for that purpose. Shavuos is the height of the harvest, and we bring the Shtei Alechem, the two loaves from the new wheat, and we bring the Bikurim, the first fruits, on Shavuot. That's what the Torah gives as the story of that holiday. And then Sukkot is when you've completed your harvest. So it's all harvest related. What in the world is Shmini Atzeres just doing sort of stuck in there? It doesn't have the harvest connection. So my question is, and that's why I have the title that I gave to this shiur, it seems to be a holiday about nothing. It's not about leaving Egypt. It's not about the harvest. So what is this? That's where I want to go with this. So in terms of addressing it and answering it, first of all, Shmini Atzeres is not simply day 8 of Sukkot. It's not simply the 8th day. The Gemara already tells us that we have 6 different ways in which Shmini Atzeres is not part of Sukkot. It's known by the acronym Pizar Kashav. I spelled it out for you in source number 2. Number 1, the Kohanim had a lottery to do the work in the temple, in the Beis HaMikdash every day, so that there would be no feeling of jealousy. Why did they get to do it and I didn't get to do it? So there was a lottery. The lottery would work such that you got a job the first day, so then you were out of the lottery. You couldn't compete. Second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, seventh day, you hit day 8, it's a brand new lottery. The people who got jobs the first 7 days can restart. That's one way in which Shmini Atzeres is clearly its own holiday. Another is that we say Shehechiyanu in Kiddush. This is a brand new holiday. Unlike the seventh day of Pesach, where you don't say Shehechiyanu, Shmini Atzeres, you do say Shehechiyanu. It's also identified as its own regel, which Rashi explains to mean you don't sit in the Sukkah. The Torah says you sit in the Sukkah for 7 days, not for 8 days. There are other explanations for the Resh. I'm not going there right now. The Kuf, Karban, it has a unique Musaf sacrifice. Whereas on the days of Sukkot, the 7 days of Sukkot, you bring first 13 bulls and then 12 bulls, 11 bulls, 10 bulls, going down until you get to day 7. Each day you reduce it by 1. Suddenly you get to Shmini Atzeres and it's different. You're bringing 1. You're just bringing 1 bull. It's its own day. It has its own sacrifice. It doesn't fit the pattern of Sukkot. Shir. The Levites, the Levim, singing in the Beis HaMikdash had their own song. It's the 6th chapter of Tehillim, Lamanatzeach al Hashminit. Very appropriate. It was a different song altogether, not matching the song of Sukkot. And then finally, bracha. And there's some debate as to what bracha means. Rashi says what it means is that when we say our davening on Shmini Atzeres, we don't say Chag HaSukkot Hazeh. We say Yom HaShmini Chag HaAtzeret Hazeh, or Yom HaChag HaShmini Atzeret, whichever way your nusach is, whatever your edition is. I say Yom HaShmini Chag HaAtzeret Hazeh. So it has its own name in our prayers. It is not simply day 8 of Sukkot. You might argue, outside of Israel, we should treat it as day 7 redux. right? Because we have this issue of the extra day outside of Israel and the Sfeika de Yoma, the doubtful day, which we're not going to go into right now because that's way too complicated for the 10th Shir, especially after a lunch and learn. But I might think you should treat it as the seventh day of Sukkot all over again, but we're concerned. We want to keep its identity as a separate day of Yom Tov. We don't want it to just be viewed as day seven all over again. So even those of us who, like myself, sit in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres outside of Israel, we still don't make a bracha of Leshev Basukkah. You don't make the blessing. And we don't take the Avaminim. We don't take the Lulav and the Esrei. We don't do that on this day. I brought you a side note that I just thought was fascinating. If you take a look at source number 3, this has nothing to do with the rest of the Shir, but it's a beautiful idea. Ramban says, why is it that we don't take the four species on Shmini Atzeres? Why didn't Hashem say, take it for 8 days? Let's take a look at what he says, in my translation. On those 7 days, take the fruit of a beautiful tree. But on the 8th, there is no need because it is beautiful itself. Shmini Atzeres is beautiful in its own right. It doesn't need the Arba Minim. It doesn't need the four species. I don't know what that says about the other 7 days. They weren't beautiful, but apparently that's what it means. We'll see the beauty of the day by the time we're done. So, again, coming back to our questions. Now that we know that Shmini Atzeres is not just another day of Sukkot, but it doesn't have the harvest resonance, it doesn't have the leaving Egypt, so what exactly is the goal? What is the message? So in order to answer that, I think we need to ask a bigger question. What is the goal of every regel? What's the goal of all of these pilgrimage holidays? We already talked about remembering getting out of Egypt. I get that. But why are we having a holiday? Every holiday has content and form. I have a philosophy expert in the corner. His ears perk up. Content and form, Chomer and Surah. This is going to be great. We're not going into philosophy. It's too late. The content of the holidays, other than Shmini Atzeret, relates to an event from our formative experience getting out of Egypt and celebrates our harvest. That's the content for the other holidays. The form is what people talked about before when I asked you what's the story of each holiday. The form is going to Jerusalem together for a religious ritual. That's the way we celebrate. What am I celebrating? Getting out of Egypt, harvest. How am I celebrating it? At the place God chose, this is what we did forever, and this is what we have longed to do, and this is what we're going to be doing again. This is our celebration. That's the form. And the way I would frame it is that the form that Yom Tov has, the form that the holiday has, of everybody gathering together to celebrate in Jerusalem, is what enables us to learn and reinforce the content. It's that mass experience together on all the holidays, not the Shmini Atzeres now, just generally, is what enables us to learn and reinforce the content of the day. I gave you a story in source number 4. It's a tragic story involving one of the greatest sages we ever had, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. Rabbi Elazar ben Arach was so great that in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai lists his great students. And he says, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach was an ever-increasing fountain of Torah. The Gemara in Chagiga recounts that when he sat and revealed mystical insights, fire descended from heaven to dance around him, and the trees sang hymns of praise to God. The Gemara says Rabbi Elazar was also labeled Rabbi Nehorai, the Rabbi of Light, because his rulings illuminated the eyes of the sages. That's how great he is. I now read the story. My English translation. Rabbi Elazar ben Arach went there to a place called Diyumsat. He was drawn after the waters. They had some kind of hot springs. He liked it. And he forgot his learning. When he returned, he rose to read from the Torah, and he wanted to read the verse, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, Shmot, right? This month is yours. And instead he read HaChei Libam. Their heart was mute. He read the verse wrong. And it's a verse that has a telling story to it. Like his heart has become mute. The rabbis prayed for him and his learning returned. What happened to him? What was it about the waters in Diyumsat? Are these just waters that make people forget things? No, that's not the story of the waters of Diyumsat. Rather, the story continues. This is the meaning of the lesson. Rabbi Nehorai, who is Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, he said, exile yourself to a place of Torah. Don't say it will follow you, for your peers will maintain it in your hand. Do not rely on your own understanding. In other words, you need peers with you. The problem wasn't the waters of Diumsat. He's enjoying himself too much. The problem is he didn't have people around him to ensure that he would keep up with it. And even somebody as great as Rabbi Elazar ben Arach could lose his learning without that peer group. That's what the regel is for. That's what these festivals are for. To create intense religious experiences which are experienced with others who are doing the same. That's the idea. The Rambam says, source number 5, from the Mora Nebuchim, the Guide of the Perplexed, festivals are all for joy and for gatherings which provide the benefit that people need in their masses. They also benefit by causing the love required between people in national gatherings. There's a national bonding experience as well. There's a unity that's important in its own right. But he says, we need to have these joint experiences. And so we get what the Torah says to us in source number 6. You shall rejoice on your festival, you, your son and daughter, but not just your family, your male and female servant, the Levite, the stranger, the orphan, the widow at your gate. Everybody should be able to participate, and you have to give to the needy. The classic line in the Rambam in source number 7 in his laws of Yom Tov, when he says, when eating and drinking, one must also feed the stranger, the orphan, the widow, with all other paupers and needy people. For one who closes his yard's gates and eats and drinks with his children and spouse and does not feed the needy and people of bitter spirit, this is not joy of a mitzvah, it's joy of his belly. You have to share. You have to invite others in as well. That's what it's for. The experience of the regel, the experience of the holiday, is meant to be shared. It's supposed to be all of us in tandem, all of us together. It isn't only on the holiday, because we had other times when we had a mitzvah of going to Jerusalem. 4 years out of every 7, there's a tithe that we separate called Maaser Sheni. We take 10% of our produce, we bring it to Jerusalem to eat it. Or redeem it for money if you live too far away, bring the money to Jerusalem and buy food to eat there. We have a mitzvah of Bechor. If we have certain kinds of animals and they produce young, the firstborn animal, we're supposed to bring to Jerusalem. There are mitzvot that involve going there. Why? So if you take a look at source number 8, the Torah tells us, you shall eat before Hashem, your God, in the place he will choose to place his name there, the tithes of your grain, your wine, your oil, the firstborn of your cattle and your sheep, so that you will learn to revere Hashem, your God, for all time, because you will be in this place where that is the focus. The Sefer HaChinuch has a very long discussion about this. My point is, not Shmini Atzeret now, the holidays in general bring Jews together to have an intense religious experience as one. And that brings me to Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres adds for us a day to reflect. I actually, many, many years ago, this is probably, I don't know, almost 20 years ago, maybe more, I gave a speech about this on Shmini Atzeret, and I looked back at my notes and I saw there that I credited Rabbi Nissen Shulman for some of that. So those who know Rabbi Moshe Shulman, who was the rabbi here, that's his father, not here in Shari Shemayim, that's his father. So evidently I got some of this from him. Rabbi Shimshon Rafal Hirsch says, you have to look at the word Atzeret. We keep saying, Shmini Atzeret, Shmini Atzeret, Shmini Atzeret. So I know what Shmini is. Shmini is day 8. But what does the word Atzeret actually mean? So anyone who's driven in Israel knows, right? What does Atzor mean when you see it on a sign? Oh, not if you've driven in Israel. All right, theoretically it means stop. It might mean we suggest that you consider slowing down. But the yield. The Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch says, even though the word atzor is supposed to mean stop, that's not what the word atzeret means. Take a look, please, at source number 9. He says, the Gemara in Chagiga explains the word atzeret to mean, stop performing work, stop performing tasks, don't do malacha. Some conclude from there that Atzeret simply teaches that it is a festival expressed by holding tasks. So Shmini Atzeret is a day when you can't do malacha, you can't do work. That's how some explain it. And the eighth is called that because it only has the prohibition against tasks. No other mitzvah that is unique to the day, right? Shmini Atzeret doesn't have any other obligations. The practice is to say Yizkor, the practice is to pray for rain, as Rabbi Anstandig mentioned. But at the end of the day, the core biblical mitzvahs just don't do malacha. So people think that's why Shmini Atzeret is called Atzeret, because all you have is don't do malacha. But he says that doesn't work. You know why? Because the Torah also calls the seventh day of Pesach Atzeret. Right? It does. So he says that doesn't work. I gave you the reference there. Deuteronomy chapter 16, sentence 8. You can look it up yourself. He says this reason for the name is insufficient. The seventh day of Pesach is also called Atzeret. And that day, we're not allowed to have chametz, so it has more mitzvot. So don't tell me the origin of the name Atzeret is simply to say, well, there are no other mitzvot today, just don't do malacha. Yeah. By the time that you hit the Gemara, yes, that's correct. I'm going to come back to Shavuot shortly, but your point will be correct once I say that. So hang in there. You're right. So Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch takes the view that that's not what we're trying to say. The message of the root, ayin, tzadi, reish, in the great majority of cases, is la'akev. I first translated on the sheet as to stop, but that's not really a good word for it. It's to keep a person. To keep a person, to keep a desire, to keep a power, and to preserve it, lest it be distanced or lost. It's about preservation. That's what Atzeret means. It's a day of preservation. And so he says, Ayin, Tzadi, Reish has both of its aspects here. There is a stopping, but there is also a preserving. To remain with God and to preserve all of the gains accrued in his proximity. These two aspects are only one in truth. They're really the same thing. Atzeret will preserve all the assets for us, and so we will be preserved for God. In other words, to make this a little bit more clear, the role of Shmini Atzeret is to preserve what we did on the previous days, to make sure we're not going to forget it. Give us a day to stay and to think about everything we have experienced. And he says, it's not just Shmini Atzeret, it's also the seventh day of Pesach. What we just said here, same thing. The seventh day of Pesach is an Atzeret for all the things that we had on the first 6 days. And also, in source number 10, now I can come back to Shavuos, Shavuot as well. Rabbi Hirsch points out, the character Shavuot is defined in the Torah as the end of the count which begins on Pesach, right? The 49 days end there. And based on this, one could also explain the name which the nation and its sages have given this holiday. They call it Atzeret. The Torah never calls Shavuot Atzeret, but the Gemara does. And we do. And so now I come back to make the point that you made. Why should it be called that? By the days of the Gemara, as you said, there is no special, no one's bringing the first fruits by that time when they're calling it Atzeret. But the answer is that's not what it's about. It's about preserving the lessons from the Omer. So an Atzeret is a day to preserve what we had before. But we're not done. Because Shmini Atzeret is more than what these other days are. Shmini Atzeret is the conclusion of all of the holidays. It's a very funny thing to say, because people are now sending their animated emails and greeting cards and everything else about the beginning of the year to people. But really, Shmini Atzeret is the end. The year began with the freedom of the month of Nisan and the Pesach celebration. It continued with the Torah of Shavuot. It culminates with the accounting that we're doing on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which I'm mentioning even though they're not regalim, that's okay. And then it continues with the faith of Sukkot. And then the next regal is 6 months from now, right? Last year it was 7 months because of the leap year. That's already a new year. Shmini Atzeres is actually a day to think of all the lessons from all the holidays that we observed, to absorb all of those, to protect ourselves from the downfall that met Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. Now, if this weren't a 30-minute session, we could go into more capping that Shmini Atzeret does. I gave you, in source number 11, a very fast list that I just want to note, even though they really deserve their own depth. First of all, as we already noted, it's the conclusion of the year cycle of holidays, and Rabbi Hirsch makes that point. But also, it's the conclusion of the bond that God makes with the nations during Sukkot. I mentioned how we bring those bulls each day of Sukkot. If you tabulate, if you add up all of the bulls that are brought, there are 70 bulls that are brought, and then there's just one for us on Shmini Atzeret. So there are different ways that those bulls are taken, but one approach is to say that during Sukkot, God is bonding not just with us, but with the nations of the world. Sukkot is a holiday for the nations as a whole. Right? Like at the end of Zechariah, when we're told that all the nations are going to come to celebrate the holiday of Sukkot in Israel. If so, then Shmini Atzeret is the cap to all of that, God's relation with the nations and then with us. So that's one possibility. Another possibility, it's the cap to the season of judgment, because as Rabbi Anstandig just discussed, we're taught that we're judged for rain on Sukkot. We cap that with our appeal for rain on Shmini Atzeret. So Rabbi Moshe Isserles, the Rama, makes the point that this is the end of the appeal for rain and the judgment for rain. The season of judgment ends then. And finally, last year for Tishrei in a Day, I talked about Shmini Atzeret and this season in general as the opposite of the 3 weeks of mourning that were observed in Tammuz and Av, the Bein HaMitzarim period. I noted that Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin, the Tzidkas HaTzadik, said that those 3 weeks are parallel to these 3 weeks, which start with Rosh Hashanah and run until the 22nd day of Tishrei, Shmini Atzeret. This is our season of Emunah. Those first 3 weeks were a season of being close to God, as he explained. I'm not going to go into that right now. That was its own half hour. These 3 weeks are a season of emunah, of faith in Hashem. So we're capping that as well. Shmini Atzeret is a cap to so many things. I brought you review questions here on the sheet because I felt like I was going to be cramming in a lot, and I think you know, also at this stage in the day, that's hard. So I'm hoping that the review questions will help. But in a nutshell, what we're saying is Shmini Atzeret isn't about any particular event that happened when we left Egypt. Shmini Atzeret is not about the harvest. Shmini Atzeret is a day to reflect. And when we approach Shmini Atzeret, and it's not that far from now, you know, right now it feels like it's far away. We're still saying L'David and blowing shofar every day. But then you turn around and suddenly it's Shmini Atzeret, and where did everything go? That's the day for us to ask, where did everything go? What did I do? What have I learned? How am I different from the way I was on Tishrei in a Day on September 11th, right? What happened between then and now? That's what Shmini Atzeret, this theme of Atzeret, of staying. Now, lack of Beis HaMikdash as of now. We don't have the tithes to bring to Jerusalem. We separate tithes from Israeli produce, but we don't get to eat them. We lack the mitzvah of eating certain foods and bringing certain sacrifices in Yerushalayim, but we still have Yom Tov. We still have an intense experience amidst a society that is celebrating that reinforces us for the rest of the year. And without a Beis HaMikdash, we just have to work harder at it. So may we indeed work harder at it and achieve for ourselves a season of Yamim Tovim, a season of celebrations that will be meaningful, inspirational, educational, so that when we arrive at Shmini Atzeres, we'll be able to look back, to contemplate, and to recap everything and to feel like, aha, we really did it this year. Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you for learning with us.